It is noon here at WHVW and time once again for Radio Rotary. The regular gang is here and I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but it's just true. So we're going to take it from there.
We do have a visitor, though.
A visitor.
Yeah, we do.
A guest.
That's a proper term. We do. So, but let's get right into it. We've got a number of things to discuss, and if we run out of time, well, we'll talk about it next time. So this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210. And if you want to go and listen to any of these past shows, my executive producer, Roger Arisco, tells me that they're on the website, and all you have to do is put in any of the search engines, Rotary District 7210, and it will pop up. Is that right, Roger?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so Roger's going to tell us that, and he told me to tell you that again, because I'm sure you want to hear the shows that you've missed, or if you came in halfway, and this will give you a hint about what we're all about. So today, we have another amazing show for you with some wonderful people. We're going to share topics about the Hudson Valley, about the world, anything that'll make us a better place, because this is Rotary Radio.
Now, wait a minute. It was supposed to be Radio Rotary.
Okay, Radio Rotary.
Right.
Okay. Right. Maybe some people we're going to talk about have dyslexia today.
Okay.
All right. So the passion and spirit of Rotarians in 32,000 Rotary clubs around the world are seen in their humanitarian efforts everywhere, as these people are linked together regardless of race, color, religion, political preference, age, or anything else. This is just what we're going to do. So the first thing we're going to talk about, Roger and I are going to talk about a program called the Pure Water Project, which is a project that Rotary does pretty much all over the world, I guess, and we'll find that out. And I had a little comment about that, because here in the Hudson Valley, we don't even think about pure water. We just turn on the tap, and there it is. We have a great water system. We have clean, you know, if it has something in it, we can filter it out. We have wells that are tested. I have a well at home, and we test it whenever we need to. So usually we don't really worry about all of the diseases that are in the water as they are around the world. So we're going to be talking about some of those pure water projects that Rotarians are doing in different countries to ensure safe water for families. But just think how precious our water is. Years ago, I remember that Turkey stopped the flow of the Euphrates River so that Iraq didn't get any water for 6 months from the Euphrates River. Can you imagine the problems that were caused with the farmers and the families there? So that's something to think about. So it's also a thing to think, what is more important? Is water or oil more important? So those people who were on the Euphrates River felt that the water was more important. So that's an amazing thing. So as Roger and I were talking about before the meeting, before the show started, the Water Projects is an international effort. And Roger, can you tell me, is it a matching where we would go, like say our club here, your club is in Arlington, would the Arlington club match with a club in Honduras? And
well, basically the governor has just come back from Honduras, and we have had students from Vassar College go to Nicaragua. The project started with a Rotarian in Vermont. And for those of you who don't realize, water purification usually requires a very involved system. And this Rotarian in Vermont invented a filter with concrete block, some steel, some moss. It takes all the pollutants out of the water, and it costs $75 per family. So Rotary is matching the money to the villages where there might be a nearby Rotary club, so that half of that cost is borne by the local Rotary club in the country that needs the water purification. And the Rotaries up here will help supply the transportation shipping costs. And then volunteers go down and teach the people in the village how to assemble that filter. And in addition, they do not want one family having a filter in a village. It must be the entire village before the project is a complete go.
So the whole village gets a filter for each of their, whatever they have, a well or whatever they have.
Each residence, correct.
Each residence has to have one.
That's right.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that part about it. So the whole village of whatever number. Now, I have some figures here that in October 31st, this particular team that went to Honduras, they installed 2,317 filters, provided 4,450 man-hours of training, and administered deparasiting medications to 456 individuals, mostly children. And they hope to complete it in January of 2008, where they're going to deliver 2,800 filters, which exceeds the initial goal of 2,500 filters. So more than 28 families will have these water purification systems in the town of in Honduras. So it's really to take out the parasites and other diseases that are in the water.
Right.
Is that what it's doing?
Yeah, there's a tremendous infant mortality rate, and there will be women who will take jugs and walk miles to bring back water that's all polluted when they get it back. It looks good, it looks clean, but the parasites cause a lot of intestinal diseases, and infant mortality is incredible, to the tune of about 6,000 children a week where there's impure water.
So that is amazing. So this, now you said there was moss in this filter?
Yeah, the moss is an island. It looks like sort of the Japanese style of, you know, horticulture, where you have like miniature plants. This is a moss that's tightly grown. It floats in a pond of water. The pollutants are attracted to the moss. The moss feeds off of the pollutants, so that when the water leaves that pond, it's then filtered through sand and rock, and when it comes out the bottom, it's 99% pure.
How often do you have to replace the moss and the sand?
That is done usually between 6-month and 12-month intervals, and just washing out all the pollutants or putting fresh sand takes care of that problem.
And that's what the part of the training is to teach the villagers
how
to do that?
Right. How often? It doesn't require electricity and does not require any power whatsoever. It's strictly run by, you know, a non-industrial system, I guess you'd call it.
You said that a number of our people from the Hudson Valley Rotaries have gone down to be on these teams to train?
Yes. There's been through Vassar College and through actually Dr. Yarmus has put a team together. He's gone down. It seems to be very popular where there's students involved, because students like to do things over the summer where they can actually help people, either with literacy or projects like this. So it's great for Bard College, Vassar College, Marist, and then in Rockland County, there's a lot of colleges down there that send teams as well.
So Rotary can form...
In our district.
So right. They can form partnership with the other organizations, whether it's a college or university.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And are these Rotaracts that are going, or are these just individuals?
It's pretty much under the water purification, so Rotary opens the door to anybody. It's not just a Rotaract club.
So this is a great way to be part of not to join Rotary, but to be part of Rotary and to help in some way, whether it's giving the $75 for a pure water or going to help train them.
Sure.
And do you have to pay for your trip if you go?
Well, the volunteers that go down there are provided transportation by the Rotary clubs.
The Rotary Club pays
right,
them.
Right, and they can opt to send more or less people depending on their budget. Some clubs are very small. Rotary clubs can range from, as you know,
a dozen
people to 100 people, so it depends on the club.
So it depends on, and so sometimes the individual, most of the times the individual probably pays for their trip then.
Right, if they can afford to do that and they're volunteering and they're a professional, usually they'll pay for their own trip and not take Rotary funds. We help the students, usually they need the money to get
right,
down
there. Right,
the
students, back. Right. Sure. So there was another pure water project that installed 1,800 filters in San Miguel, El Salvador, in May of 2007, and this was led by the Highland Rotary Club in our district, 7210, in partnership with the Presbytery of Iowa. So churches, I guess the Presbytery must be the Church of Presbyterians of Iowa, and they run a home in near this place where it was, and so they got all the church volunteers to support about 2,200 families. Living in the small villages surrounding Berlin, El Salvador. So these families that live in the mountain regions, you know, they don't have access to safe drinking water, and so they were very anxious to receive these filters. And so partnership with the church group and Rotary, they were able to service these 2,200 families that were living in the small villages all around there. So that's a great thing to do. And also, I noticed that the Peace Corps volunteers often help as trainers too. So many different organizations and nonprofit groups join in this, and I think this is a wonderful project, giving pure water to places that need it like this. And also, I think, you know, the other thing it makes us do is makes us realize how blessed we are to have pure water in our area, how we don't have to worry about it as much as a place like that, like
Absolutely.
El Salvador, Honduras, or whatever country. And there's a trip that just went to El Salvador in March of 2008, and that trip cost about $1,000, including airfare. So there'll be more going on, and if you want to find out more about the Pure Water Projects, go to our district website, mm-hmm. 7210, and sign on. Or
Rotary International.
Or Rotary International. You can go from anywhere in the world. We talked about here, Iowa and so on, and forming partnerships.
It's also in conjunction with the United Nations Millennium Goals also to provide pure water for the world. So Rotary is a full partner with UN. It's the only organization that's given a day at the United Nations to align their goals with each other.
That's great. So the UN is also helping with this program of pure water. Mm-hmm. So we were just talking about the Pure Water Project. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I think it's a great idea, and I think most of the clubs are doing some sort of water project. That is a great thing to do. So now, before our next guest, we have our presidential brainiac.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Drum roll. We have three questions, varying levels of difficulty.
Both geniuses are absent today, I might add. So you mean covering. We're subbing for those people.
The students aren't here.
Right. They know the answer.
Where are those 10-year-olds? So the first question, how old was Thomas Jefferson when he drafted the Declaration of Independence?
I would guess 35.
Oh, I was going to say around that, too. I was going to say 33. You think 32?
I'm going to go high. I'm going to say 40.
Roger's always outside the box. Jefferson was 33 years old. I saw 1776, so I knew that answer. When he wrote the Declaration of Independence, fact, Jefferson was known more for his talent with the written word than the spoken word, in part because of a speech impediment, a lisp. Ah, there's something. No, Thomas Jefferson's a great, great president. Now, the next question is a blue question. Whom did the jazz singer Al Jolson write a song for in 1920? I think we had this one before.
I think we did, yeah. Not that I remember the answer, but I think it was...
I think you said Coolidge last time, but he was 24.
Yeah.
So it was whoever was before Coolidge.
It would have been nice Harding. Running against, yeah, maybe Harding and Wilson or something.
Teddy Roosevelt?
Aughts.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt was a little bit before that.
He was in the aughts. So it's Warren G. Harding, and Jolson helped him get elected with his song, Harding, You're the Man for Us. Mm-hmm. I could just see Al Jolson singing that. Okay, the last question is a red question. In 1956, what Democratic candidate compared the advertising of candidates to selling cereal?
Had to be Stevenson.
Adlai Stevenson? And it was Adlai Stevenson versus Eisenhower, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Adlai Stevenson.
His nickname was the Egghead.
Yes, that's right. I loved Adlai Stevenson, too. He's a nice guy. Stevenson said, the idea that you can merchandise candidates for high offices like breakfast cereal is the ultimate indignity to the democratic process before losing to Dwight D. Eisenhower in a landslide.
However, he was right.
it's very interesting. But that's the way it is today. On June 20th for our radio show here for the Rotary. Now, the next person we're going to be talking to is Nora Merritt. And what a great last name. I wonder why that's such a good last name.
Reminds me of either a library or some literary place.
Yeah. We have many connections.
And she's going to talk about a couple of things. And the first thing we're going to talk about, though, is their Rotary. Is this the Arlington Rotary?
The Arlington Rotary distributed this last night at their installation dinner.
All right, so the Arlington Rotary Club is looking for students from Spain. Students from Spain. You're getting a student coming in from Spain.
Right.
And so we need host families. The Arlington Club needs host families from June 27th to July 25th. There'll be 15 high school students from Spain coming in. And if the students don't have a host family, they can't come. So you want the students to be hosted in the Poughkeepsie area?
Correct.
Arlington-Poughkeepsie area?
In the Arlington District.
In the Arlington District would be hopeful. So if you have an extra room, young children, older children, whatever you want, it would be fun to have a student from Spain spend the summer with you.
Is speaking Spanish a requirement?
No, because they're hopefully going to learn English. So,
believe it or not, most of the students we get from other countries are bilingual.
Right.
We don't often send out a bilingual student, but we usually always get bilinguals. Hmm.
And so the person to contact, should I read this telephone number or
sure,
the email?
Absolutely.
All right, is Jeremy Robbins, and that phone number is 845-705-7677, or email jeremysrobbins@gmail.com. Are these the students down here?
Yes.
There's some pictures.
Send them pictures and also a bio.
There's some very nice-looking students.
A handwritten story on the back there from one of the students. I don't know if you can read one of them.
All right, I'll read the story. Let's see.
Maybe the short one there.
Hi, my name is Emma. I'm 15 years old. I have a sister. Her name is I think it says Leslie. She's 18. My dad is Joseph, and my mom, Lola. I have two pets. One is a lovely rabbit, and the other one is a dog, Gorky. I love animals and play with them as much as possible. Put her on a farm. Let's see. So there's all sorts of... let's see if I can find... Whoa, that's a long one. I won't read that one. Here's another one. When I was younger, every day, I said to my parents, right, if they wrote these in English, this is wonderful English.
Yes,
so they can speak English. When I was younger, every day, I said to my parents that in the future, I would like to go to the USA to learn English and know about your culture and costumes.
Costumes.
Or is that, it says costumes.
Talking about your button-down shirt yeah. there, your Hathaway.
It's best wishes, and I think the name is Saudi or Sandra. What name do you think that is?
Oh, Sandra.
Sandra. So it's both boys and girls will be coming over. So if you'd like to host them, get in contact with the Arlington Club. And they're coming from Spain.
Your name's supposed to be down there, too. Yeah, Sandra.
All right, so now... And our guest today, we have Nora Merritt, and we were teasing about the name, and it's a fine, wonderful name.
It is.
Especially the last name.
Yes.
The reason you're saying that, we have a sponsor today, Merritt Bookstores, on the district website.
Oh, that's right, so, of course.
But that's not Nora's bookstore, but I'm
so
sure
well
she's
planned.
Been there.
So. Yeah, only guests that have the name Merritt can come on right now. So
I'll be back.
So Nora has had many different roles with BOCES, and you've had other jobs probably before BOCES. You had a life before BOCES.
No life before BOCES.
No life before. Okay. So, but I have a first question. What is BOCES? What does BOCES stand for?
It's a cooperative. It's a Board of Education. BOCES is.
Board of Cooperative.
Cooperative
exactly
Education
what you said.
Educational Services. And you've got me on that, and this is our first question. Yikes. So let's go back to the
We usually
presidents.
Only refer to it as BOCES. That's the popular
it's
word.
Board of Cooperative
well,
Educational
I know, but
Services.
you have other languages involved in here, like alpha and beta, and we need
yeah,
to
right,
figure
right,
out
right,
these
right.
things.
Let's,
very good. Good point.
Board of Cooperative Educational Services.
All right. So Nora is, and we'll refer to you as Nora from now on. Is former business and industry professional. You have a business and education and computer technology teacher. You are that. You're coordinator for BOCES special education teachers. And now your new job is director over all of Dutchess County BOCES special and alternative educational programs and teachers. So you're going to be, we're going to talk to you about, we already talked about what is BOCES. Now, I have a question. Alternative education programs, is that like, are you talking about like the cooking program or the... What is alternative education?
Oh, no. BOCES is a cooperative, and that's really at the heart of it. And part of what we do is we provide educational services in a more effective and efficient way. And the alternative high school in particular is a program that houses at 900 Dutchess Turnpike right here in Poughkeepsie. And we service 13 different districts for students that are not meeting with success out in their home district for a variety of reasons. And we bring them into our environment, our setting, with a different sort of methodology and approach. And we hope that they go through and have much success in their high school career. Some of our students lead to GED programs. Some of our students graduate with an IEP diploma, which is an individual education plan diploma. Others go with their regents. In fact, we just had our graduation on Friday the 13th, and we had roughly 50 graduates.
Wow.
So it's an outstanding program.
Now, my son is taking Regents this week. So
correct.
When you said they had to come back after graduation then for Regents?
They're taking their tests this week, correct.
Wow.
As well as next week.
Oh, the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So now that we know what BOCES, we think we know what BOCES the word is, how about BETA? What is BETA?
That's the... Educational Training Academy, BOCES, Educational Training Academy.
And BETA is...
You know, the acronyms take on a different meaning after
And BETA
a
is on Route 44, is that
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. Is there an alpha?
There was an alpha. The alpha's gone.
Oh, my gosh. What'd you do with it?
We couldn't do alpha. In fact, that's why we're beta. I believe there was some connection to the original De La Valle building in alpha.
Oh, so...
Alpha
De La Valle.
Right.
Oh, isn't that funny?
That's where the campus is right now.
All right, so what are some of the programs that in the special education... Now let's go to special education.
Sure.
What kinds of BOCES special education programs are available?
Well, as you know, we have the alternative high school.
Right.
We also have a special ed center, which is on the campus at Sewell Point Turnpike, which is a K-8 program.
And what do you call that center?
It's not Sewell Point
Center. You don't call it BETA or anything else?
Nope, Sewell Point Center, SPC. And then we have 20 different classrooms embedded into the program, into the district classrooms out in Dutchess County, Dutchess Community.
When you say they're embedded, you mean in another school district or something? Or how does that
work? For example, Arlington High School, we have 4 classrooms in their high school. They serve 2 basic populations. One is what we call our peace classrooms, which are specific for students with autism. And we have other programs that are ADL programs, which are adult learning.
So now, would the students come from outside the Arlington district then and come to the Arlington school?
Correct. So it's a mini community within the general educational programs.
And so then those students that are in the in those classrooms, they actually get to be part of the whole
community, yes,
community, and go to lunch and do all that stuff with them. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And so what are some of the other programs that are there, I mean, that you deal with?
We have a wonderful program out in the Pauling High School called our Pegasus program. It's a program for students with multiple disabilities. They are working on their daily living skills as well. They are tremendously embedded into the community itself through some of the interact programs that we have, as well as the work-based learning programs that we have. They do internships with the nursing home. They work at Hannaford's. There are job coaches that support them in their learning the skills of true embedded work. We bridge them to their adult programs as well in terms of different agencies. We have programs for the little tykes at Nassau Elementary, for example. We have 2 programs there that are peace programs, again, for the autistic students with autism. We have programs out in Red Hook. We have programs just about anywhere you can think of. In fact, we have one very unique program at Red Oaks Mill. We share space with Karate for Kids, which is right at Red Oaks Mill Plaza on 376. And that is a school without walls. They are part of the daily activities that happen in the Red Oaks Mill Plaza. They go to work every day. Some of them go to work 4 days a week. Others may go 2 or 3 days a week. And they go everywhere in terms of what they're exposed to. We have workers in the Galleria Mall. We have workers in DSW. We have workers in Hannaford's.
Ruby Tuesdays,
Roger knows them all. There are about 40 different work sites that we mm-hmm. have our kids working at.
What's the program that we have at the Merritt Bookstore in Red Hook?
Oh, that's right.
Of course.
Thank
Patrick
you.
Patrick Hazel.
One of the Red Hook special ed students from BOCES. Merritt Books opened up their doors along with Williams Lumber in Rhinebeck to students with autism, and they've been fantastic.
Yeah, they've been great kids. Yeah. Well, the one that we
you
have.
You know, you've heard from your store manager, who's a former Rotary president.
Right.
And when she heard about this program, she said, I'll be glad to try it out. And
it's been going on its
3rd year.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And I encourage any other businesses to, if you need more businesses.
Yes, we always need businesses. Roger's been really instrumental in securing places of work for our students. I think that there's somewhat of a hesitation, perhaps, initially on behalf of the employer. But once we make our way in, they truly love us and encourage other
partners to join. We won't deny that it puts an imposition in the beginning until you do all the training and whatnot.
Sure.
But you send job coaches, at least with us, we have a job coach.
We have job coaches.
Before the student and
correct.
Sets
and
the day up.
Yeah, and so I think that that alleviates a lot of the problems, to what to do. And so I think the combination of the student and job coach, that's a great, great thing. So let's go on and say, you mentioned earlier that it sounded pretty much like BOCES is high school, but then you said something about earlier.
No, I don't want you to think that BOCES is strictly high school. We have students from kindergarten through 21 years old. We do have a variety of high school programs within our school districts as well as our alternative high school, but we have as many elementary programs as well.
And you also said there are 13 school districts are part of the BOCES?
There are 13 school districts in Dutchess County.
Oh, so they all belong
to us. But we do have other school districts sending students to us. For example, we have students from New Paltz.
Oh.
We have students from Highland and Carmel and Mayapack. We get recommendations from quite a few places.
So is the Dutchess, it sounds like the Dutchess BOCES is larger or better or something than... Does every county have a BOCES?
There's about 37 in New York State, but Dutchess County is one of the biggest.
Good.
So Orange County is another big one nearby.
Orange. And we do work collaboratively as well with the other BOCES in our area.
Ulster BOCES, sure.
Right, I've heard of, yeah, I've been to Ulster BOCES. So that's great. So that, and we were just talking about the job coaches. So how did that come about? How do the job coaches, what are some of the, I'm trying to think of the right word, like what does a job coach need to know to help the students and to interact with the business that they're in?
Well, it's funny you should ask that question. I was asked most recently to welcome the job coaches at the end of the year event last Wednesday. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to really drive home, I wanted to make sure that they understood the qualities of a good coach. What does that mean for our students? What does that mean for our parents? What does that mean for the merchant and really our community and as a whole? And I think that there is a very positive energy that comes from the entire job coach group. So certainly somebody who is interested in coaching has to have a desire to not only be with students, but have a positive view on community.
Now, does a job coach have to have a college degree or
a lot of requirements for a job coach? They can apply online by going to dcboces.org and looking at browsing openings and look for the youth aid. That's another name we use, is a youth aid. And those positions are posted. And then we have a screening agent in our human resources department that would qualify them. They prefer a degree, if there is a degree, in psychology, education, special education.
We have a lot of returning retired teachers that come back.
That's a smart. That's very smart.
In fact, one of our most recent retirees has joined us back again up in Pine Plains, and he's very excited to be with us.
Now, can you tell me, what is V-E-S-I-D?
That's VESID.
VESID. So what language is that? You had
that's
Greek
education,
so far.
Yeah.
Government language. That's government language, right?
That is
that's red
the
tape?
Vocational education for special ed with the state, in essence.
And that's another thing you work with?
Yeah, well, VESID is an agency that works for students with disabilities, and it's a connection to the educational SED, which is State Education Department programs. And it's meant to support students in the connection between education and vocation.
So you have a lot of acronyms or...
We love acronyms.
Right. So, for example, an IEP. Mm. So when you're writing letters to people, do you throw in IEP, VESID, and BETA, and ALPHA, and people have to... From BOCES, and people
well,
have to get a dictionary?
When we were within BOCES, we could just spill them out. But generally, you know, there are some acronyms that are kind of take on a life of their own. IEP is one of them. Mm-hmm. Anyone in our industry really knows what that means. But Individual Education Plan is what it stands for, and I think that it's an important acronym to spell out occasionally because we forget what it is we're doing. And it is an individual plan, and it is about academics, it is about education, and it is at the heart of what we do.
So every student at BOCES has an IEP, an Individual Education Plan? Is that
no.
right? Not every student.
Not every student.
I thought I was catching the hang of that.
Well, you should know that we have, throughout our programs, roughly, I would say 80% or so of them are what we call classified students with IEPs. And then we have an entire group of students that are non-classified students that are in our alternative programs. We have, as you know, the alternative high school at 900 Dutchess Turnpike. And we also have other programs that are for alternative students that are non-classified students.
All right. And so the last acronym is CSE.
CSE. Well, the CSE is the person who orchestrates and facilitates the Committee of Special Education. And they are the chairperson, if you will, on the decisions that are made on behalf of students and their IEP.
How many pages is a glossary of all these terms that you must give out to all your new people that come in?
The entire book is a glossary.
I'd like to just add, parents of special education students, they know that terminology.
Oh, yeah. This is language. It's like with any other industry, you know. We shorten it up because there's so much to say and so little time. And unfortunately, I think we're running out of time as well.
We'll have to have BOCES back on another show.
No, this has been
talking about Special Ed Interact, too, because BOCES is sponsoring at least
five. We can. Interacts, Rotaracts, we have a lot of great things. We have 30 seconds left. Nora, thank you for being here. Roger, thank you for helping out.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Remember that the Arlington Rotary is looking for host families for students from Spain that will be here June 27th. to July 25th. So if you'd like to be a host family, call 845-705-7677. And this is your host, Scott Meyer, Rotarian, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210, which you can search for on the website. Thank you, and signing off for another week.
And you are listening to WHVW. It is 1230.